We are serving up jumbo shrimp on the babby this morning as the Jacksonville Suns get a new name and logo. Good morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. We are always live at 9, and make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes on the WJCT app. And just ahead, have you heard about this? It's goodbye Jacksonville Suns. Hello, Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Yes, we're going to speak with team owner Ken Babby about the big name change to the city's minor league baseball team, and he's taking your calls right now. Get on the line and let us know your thoughts at 549-2937. Then later, the cast of Annie Get Your Gun, plus Carrie Speckman with a look at some ideas for your weekend. All of that and more ahead this hour. But first, this morning, baseball's never been hotter with the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Yes. Now, Major League Baseball fans, of course, are thrilled about the Cubs' incredible victory last night, finally taking the World Series after more than a century. But here in our area, we've got more baseball news to talk about this morning, and it's Jacksonville's minor league team. They changed their name this week from the Suns, which has been the moniker for decades, to the Jumbo Shrimp. The announcement yesterday immediately produced intense and mixed reactions on social media. But owner Ken Babby says he's no stranger to controversial name changes. Up in Ohio a few years ago, he changed another minor league team's name to the Akron Rubber Ducks. And after he did that, the team's attendance went up by about 30%. So, what do you think of the new Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp? It's your chance to sound off and let the owner know as we welcome Ken Babby to Studio 5. Ken, good morning.
Good morning. I hope people got some sleep after that Game 7 last night.
I know, right? Yeah. Our own David Luckham was a little late to work this morning for that very reason.
It's fun.
Get on the line now. What do you think of the new Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp? 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email and tweet us. Or you can weigh in on our Facebook page. Dozens of comments there already. Gee, what a shock. Ken Babby, you unveiled this yesterday at a press conference downtown with local luminaries in the new Jumbo Shrimp uniforms. Wow, this took the whole community by surprise. But you've been planning this for, what, more than a year?
Yeah, you know, we spent 2016, certainly for those that came down to the ballpark, you saw that it was a different experience. The ballpark was cleaner. We've invested more than $1.8 million into the facility, new Tiki Terrace, renovating the suites, new group areas, incredible food options. And so we took 2016 as a year of really building trust and making some positive deposits into the community trust bank, if you will. Mm-hmm. And Melissa, I think that, you know, that we really strive to build a brand and build a logo and name that match the experience that we've been working so hard to build. You know, we talk about affordable family fun, $5 tickets, $2 hot dogs, right? This great experience at the ballpark. And as much as we honor, and certainly the tradition of great Jacksonville minor league baseball and the Suns, you know, really is a part of who we are, the players, the championships, et cetera, that doesn't go away, right? That's going to continue. This is a brand that's all about fun.
It is a fun name, and of course, minor league ball is known for quirky names like the Montgomery Biscuits. As I mentioned, your former team, the Akron Rubber Ducks, that's part of the fun of going to a minor league park is these quirky brands, but already we're getting intense backlash. There's a change.org petition begging you to change the name back to the Suns. Thousands of supporters already. Reactions on social media are running the gamut between people who think it's funny and cool and those who just think it's the worst decision ever. So what would you say to those who hate this change and they think the name is not any good?
Well, we want to be understanding and sympathetic to people's feelings. This is the community's team, but I would say this, change is difficult. We're really proud of this new brand. We're really proud of this new logo, and we're moving forward and excited about it and want fans to come out. We don't have to win over 1.4 million people in the first 24 hours, and that's okay. There are a lot of people that are really excited about this, and come April, all we're saying is come on out to the baseball grounds and give this a try and see what the Jumbo Shrimp really are all about.
And what are people going to see in addition to the new name, the new logo, and you see sort of like a red fighting shrimp with a blue background? you know, what would you say to people who think, well, shrimp are what you peel and eat? Yeah. How, you know, that's not a moniker that I see as like a victorious, winning sort of aggressive, athletic moniker.
Yeah, so I'm a huge radio guy, and this is one of those cases where I wish I could show all the great listeners that you have out there, and you can see it at jackshrimp.com, and you can see the new logo and uniforms, but this is a tough shrimp, right? This is, you know, a shrimp in the shape of a J that is, you know, really three critical colors, St. John's Navy, All-American Red, and Patriotic Blue. And the way that those come together, as I said, in the shape of a J, really talks about the activation of river life and the ocean, and of course the military, which is such a critical part of life in Jacksonville.
It's fun. And you've tried to make the ballpark a fun experience, as you said. Yeah. What else do you have up your sleeve for the next season?
Well, this was pretty big. So, you know, the obviously everything that comes with a rebrand, there's a lot of work that goes into this that people don't realize. Every sign in the ballpark has to be changed. Every, you know, community impression has to be changed. We'll be out in the community really over these next 5 or 6 months, you know, and engaging with fans. I've been really public about this and put my email address, ken@jackshrimp.com, out there. Send us your thoughts. Tell us what you think. We're not hiding from this. We want to get out in front of it and celebrate this with the community. All we're saying is, for the folks that are really, really upset, and I'm sure there may be a couple of them on the phone, which we'll talk to, let's have some fun with this, because there's serious issues that we're dealing with in this country. Obviously, an election coming up here in a few days. There are, you know, big things going on in town. The conversation about this should be about fun, and that we have a baseball team in town that is serious about having a lot of fun.
All right. We want your calls right now as we speak with team owner Ken Babby about the new Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, as the sun has set on the old name, the Jacksonville Suns. 549-2937. We'll get to your emails and tweets and many Facebook comments in just a minute. Autumn is in Ortega. Hi, Autumn. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Go ahead.
I just want to say I'm a really big fan of the name change. I think it's hilarious. There are all kinds of crazy names in minor league, like the Wichita Wingnuts. There's a Chihuahuas. I just think that this is great, and it's super fun. I may be the only one who thinks that. But I love it.
Autumn, you're my new
shrimp head.
Okay, thanks, Autumn.
You're my new best friend in Jacksonville, Autumn, so we'll see you out at the baseball grounds.
You need that right now, don't you? Because I think you're getting a lot of heat, Ken Babby. You're getting a lot of angry fans that don't like you right this moment.
And that's okay, right?
You're cool with that.
You put yourself in a role like this, and you take a step like that. And as we say, we're Bold City. This is I was with the mayor the other day, and we were obviously sharing it with him, and you know,
what did he say?
You know, he was very supportive of it. And he said, look, this is a city where we're not afraid to rest on our traditions, and we're going to step forward and make bold moves. And that's exactly what we've done.
Ted in Jacksonville Beach. Hey, Ted.
Good morning. Hey, I'm all about the name. The only concern I is, will there be shrimp on the menu at the ballpark? And if so, will it be local shrimp from Mayport and not the imported shrimp from Asia?
Ooh,
give it to me. I'm going to lead the parade with a pile of shrimpers if there's Asian shrimp sold at that ballpark. And, hey, team owner, it's got to be local. Support your local shrimpers.
Hey, thanks, Ted. Wow, that is a great question. And what about the Mayport community?
Yeah, so Ted gets it just right. So if you came down to the ballpark last year, you'll see that really everything we do is local. So Ted is right. You know, he's literally hit the ball on the bat perfectly here, in that everything we do is local. Ted, as you're curious to know, our seafood will be local. We switched to away from a national brand hot dog to Grillman's, which is owned by the Frisch family here in Jacksonville. Everything we do at the ballpark, to the best of our abilities, is local.
So you're going to serve Mayport shrimp at the ballpark?
We will. We will have local shrimp. We actually had local shrimp yesterday at the press event for people to be able to sample.
Are you going to serve it? Are you going to fry it? How's it going to be served up?
I have the image of like that scene from Forrest Gump, right? Where you have like
Bubba Gum shrimp. You're
right?
You're going to have every variety.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe it's a shrimp of the day, you know, beer battered with Thirsty Thursday, and you know, Creole on Monday. So we'll figure it out. We have a wonderful food and beverage team that Ernest Hopkins, who's a native Jacksonville Jacksonvillian and career Navy man, actually has been working on for months to prepare for this. And so he sampled a little bit at the press event yesterday. And as we get closer to spring, we'll sample more of those kinds of great things, and do it at an affordable price, which I think is really the value message.
Oh man, lots of tweets about the new Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Here are just a few. Adam, I'm just leaving the baseball grounds. There is a line this morning to purchase the Jack's Shrimp merchandise. I love the Jacksonville Shrimp name, tweets Bold City Pops. John tweets the show, did the team do focus groups to test the name change? And Kingsley wants to know, were there other names that competed with Jumbo Shrimp?
Good question. So the process in terms of other names is a great question. You know, and maybe a few years from now we'll do a what could have been night, and we could dress the team up in the uniforms for those others. What I would say is, it was pretty clear that there were some other good names, but Jumbo Shrimp was really the right direction that spoke to us and our community and what we're all about. The other thing about this is, and I said this earlier, is that there's a lot of history actually broken into the name. Our very first Negro League team here in Jacksonville was the Jacksonville Redcaps, and so yesterday when we rolled out all of our new uniforms, it was very important to us to be able to have a Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp Red Cap, which we'll wear on Friday nights, which will be great fun.
Lots of Facebook comments. Here are just a few. You are very brave, Melissa, to do this segment. Lane writes on Facebook, I hate it. From Chris, catch of the day. Here's one from Doug. I think the ad agency folks are aghast, but I think it's funky and fun. And here is a message on Facebook from Scott. Horrible. Celicia writes, he just killed baseball in Jacksonville. Here's one on Facebook actually from my dad up in Ohio. It's not quite the Mud Hens, but it's memorable.
That's good.
Okay.
That's good.
Let's go to a few more of your calls. Jane in Jacksonville Beach. Hi, Jane. Go ahead.
Well, I think part of it, and yes, I am against it. There are almost 10,000 signatures on the online petition, and that's after one day. I think it's related to the tradition. We don't have a lot of long-standing team name traditions in Jacksonville. We only have the Jaguars as the longest one. And the Suns, you know, been there a long time. And why did it need to be changed?
I think it's a fair question.
Thanks, Jane.
Yeah, it's a fair question. So, the Suns' name was completely entrenched in the community. You could probably go anywhere and everybody would know that the Suns was the minor league baseball team here in Jacksonville. And I'd go back to sort of where I started in that, you know, if you came down to a game last year, you saw that the experience was different, that we were really working hard to build a great experience for families. We're still the AA affiliate of the Miami Marlins. You're going to see great players like we've seen Giancarlo Stanton, who is Mike Stanton, then come through Jacksonville on the way to the major leagues. But we did a lot of things last year that I think changed the experience and changed sort of game changers in terms of who we want to be. For example, we opened the ballpark early every Sunday. And we promote this, but it's good for people to hear it. And we give kids a chance to come down on the field and play catch. And for the little ones that aren't quite old enough to do that or don't want to do that, we have one of our players sit there with a wireless microphone and read stories to the little kids. This is all about family. And so when you hear this name and you hear why and you want to understand why did it need to be changed, the reality is we wanted a name that could match with this incredible family entertainment experience that we're trying to build, and that we would look at it and say, boy, that's fun. You know, that is different. It's fun. It's a little quirky. Somebody saw yesterday and said,
you don't want people to take it too seriously.
Exactly. Somebody said, boy, that's a silly name. You know, it figures that you'd announce it the week the fair is in town, right? And that's okay. Years ago, my mom saw what I was doing up in Akron and with the rubber ducks, and she said, I feel like my son works in the circus. And I said, you know, at first I was a little bit insulted, and then I realized, okay, I'll take that as a compliment, right? And that there's still going to be great baseball. That's not going to change. We're still going to see great players come through the championships, you know, the players on the way to the major leagues. What we're trying to say is, let's have fun with our minor league team here in Jacksonville.
If this doesn't work, What's your next play?
We're going forward with it. I appreciate the petitions. We've had those before. There have been petitions in other cities. There's many large cities in the United States, like El Paso, like the other caller mentioned, the Chihuahuas and Hartford Yard Goats, Richmond Flying Squirrels. The petitions are almost sort of part of it.
So people come around.
Yeah, in fact,
is what you think.
Yeah, what I'm actually going to do and trying to do, there's a few thousand names on that list, but we're going to actually reach out to those people and say, give us a shot. You know, you don't have to love it. We're not asking you to fall in love with it and wear a hat to work tomorrow. All we're asking is come on down to the ballpark, buy a $5 ticket this spring, and just see what it's all about, and then make your decision.
The people that put their names on change.org, you're going to email those people.
We're going to try and reach out to them as best as we can.
And right now, we are taking lots of your calls as we speak with team owner Ken Babby about the new Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Shannon on the north side. Go ahead, Shannon.
Hey there. I work in social media, marketing, and communication, and I was just wondering, you kind of just mentioned this, why is there no effort maybe to reach out to the community and get community buy-in? I mean, Jacksonville is already kind of struggling as a sports town as it is, and we're proud. You know, we are the bold new city of the South, so maybe why not let the community choose a name out of some that you guys have picked, or, you know, even consult a local agency to create the logo? Why no community buy-in in that way?
So a great question, and this is the community's team, and so that's a very fair question and a right question. And the honest reality is that we did have conversations. We just did them in private settings, and so what we didn't do is have a big public. Let's name the for the team. You could imagine us going out and doing a whole big name the team contest, and you know generally those and you know you can do some research online have not worked well in other cities where you know it just creates a lot of dissension. And we felt that wasn't the right message to send to the community. So what we went to is local community leaders. I'm, you know, really thankful to have, you know, the business support behind the team, the civic support behind the team, the chamber support. Daniel Davis was with us yesterday at the conference, downtown at the Times Union Center. So we really reached out to our inner core. We reached out even to some season ticket holders and reached out to community leaders and brought them in. But that's a fabulous question. And I believe that sports teams in town are really owned by the community, and so I would never attack that opinion. And it's a fair opinion for others to say, "Hey, boy, you should have done a big web poll." We didn't do it that way, and ultimately, at the end of the day, we had to make a decision, and we're really excited about where we are.
Here's an email from Michael. "Well, I'll be dipped in cocktail sauce. Is the new slogan, baseball's never been colder than the frozen jumbo shrimp? Are they being sponsored by a seafood supplier? Are we going to say batter up as we batter the fried shrimp? The jokes are endless." Let's go to Frank in St. Augustine. Go ahead, Frank. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, Hi, Melissa. I don't know how the numbers are matching on the calls that are getting through with people who think it's a reasonable decision. It's an outrage and travesty. It really is that somebody from out of town, I think this fellow's from the Washington Beltway or wherever, just marches in here, an established tradition of baseball that was cultivated by the Bragan family, that, quite frankly, Jacksonville's a football town. It took special tweaking for people to come into being baseball fans in this town. And the Bragan family did it. Now, having said that, Pedro said it best in his comments. Mr. Babby paid his 20-some-odd million dollars to this team. It's his toy to do what he wants with. But the deal with the way it was, and the way it is in baseball traditionally, is we focus on the game. The game is why people come. The competition, it's an athletic event. It's a competition. There's a scoreboard. We're there to watch a contest between the Jacksonville team and another team from out of town. And what Mr. Babby does, and granted it's happening a lot around the country, is minor league baseball is a sideshow. It's a circus. He's mentioned fun. He mentioned it being a circus. He's got no problem with that. I'm highly offended by it. Sure, you want to take up some time between innings and entertain fans that might find baseball to be a boring or slow game and do your shtick and get your advertising dollars out of there. You're breaking glass on every foul ball.
Okay, Frank. All right, Frank.
Gets a couple thousand bucks
for it. Frank, thanks for the call. Okay. Now, Ken Babby, I've seen a lot of those types of comments online that, you know, going so far as to say this is a travesty and that you're spitting on the Bragan family's storied tradition in this community. What would you say to Frank?
I everybody's entitled to their opinion, so I'm not going to challenge his fine opinion, and baseball's a great game and I love it. But the other thing I would say is that we've shown nothing but deep respect to the Bragans, and I think, you know, Pedro's a friend. We've remained in touch over the last couple of years. We even, you know, texting last night about the World Series. Certainly Pedro, and I, you know, thank him for his incredible, his incredible tweet yesterday of showing, hey, look.
What did he say?
You know, he said, look, just as the caller mentioned, that this is, you know, is a big investment that I made, and that ultimately he's going to be supportive of whatever's best for the team. And so change is hard, and you know, we're going to continue to honor the great tradition and the great baseball that caller just mentioned. And I think this is really important. That doesn't change. We're still going to wear a uniform that says Jacksonville on the front of it. There may be a river going through it in terms of the font, but we're still going to be the minor league affiliate of the Miami Marlins, the AA affiliate. None of that changes. This is about expanding and broadening who we are. There's still going to be 9 innings of the game. There's still 3 outs for every half inning. And somebody at the end of the day is going to win, and there's still going to be great Grillman's hot dogs that are made here in Jacksonville. So,
Carl on the south side. Hi, Carl. Thanks for holding. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm first just in defense of the new owner. They did do a crowdsourcing effort, I think, for an NGO for a boat, and they ended up naming it Boaty McBoatface. So just forever, for whatever it's worth, that, you know, it could go south. But actually, the name's kind of grown on me a little bit. And I was just wondering, how are you connecting? Because we are really known, especially Mayport shrimp is well known. How are you connecting with the local shrimp? There better be some, the expectations are high that there's going to be some good shrimp at the game. So how are you going to make that happen?
Yeah, he talked about that a minute ago, but let's explain that again. Thanks,
yeah,
Carl.
There'll be great local shrimp along with many other great culinary options. I was impressed last night that one of the local news networks looked at this, and instead of just covering the story with the press conference, which was great, they actually went out to the coast and actually interviewed shrimpers and had a conversation with them about what do you think this means, and talked about the hardworking nature of what it's like to be a shrimper. So maybe that'll come as a complimentary piece. But yes, great shrimp at the ballpark. You can expect it. It'll begin this spring.
Ron is in Mandarin. Hi, Ron. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, listeners. Thanks for presenting this on the show today. I just have one question. When I was growing up, if somebody wanted to say something derogatory to someone, they'd call them a shrimp. And so I'm wondering, when the broadcasters are broadcasting the game and they're in a hurry, what are they going to call the team? The Jumbos or the Shrimps or, you know, think about that, because that could be a big issue. I'll take my
Thanks, Ron. Yeah, I mean, and I learned yesterday the plural of shrimp is shrimp.
That's right.
So they can't call them the shrimps.
That's right. And again, radio is probably not doing justice here, but I've been called a shrimp many times in my life. So I am, this won't be the first. I've been called a lot worse, certainly in the last 24 hours on Twitter. So some people have referred to them this week as the Jumbos. I didn't expect that, but the uniforms will say Jacksonville on the front. The name of the team is the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. You may say you're going to catch a shrimp game. I thought that'll be, you know, that you could play on words there, but we'll see how that plays out after it marinates for a while.
Let's take one more call. It's Mark in Ponte Vedra. Hi, Mark. Thanks for holding. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I just want to say, you know, I appreciate everything that the Bragans have done to cement the Suns as an institution here in Jacksonville. But I think changing the name to the Jacksonville Shrimp or the Jumbo Shrimps is a great idea. What he mentioned earlier about it being a family venue and trying to get kids out of the house and have a great family experience, get kids away from video games and that kind of stuff. I applaud him for doing everything he can to try and make it more of a family venue where you can go and share a baseball game with your parents or brothers and sisters and that kind of stuff. And I understand you gotta change. You have to make things attractive so that the kids are going to want to go. And down the road, hopefully they grow up to have a love for the game. So I understand people may be upset that, you know, traditions have changed and all that, but to be honest with you, I applaud him for doing what he's done.
You know, I thank you thank you for your call. I have an 8-year-old son. His name is Josh, and we've had him around the ballpark all summer. He'll do any job. He'll sell tickets. We don't let him anywhere near the beer yet. But you know, I let me just say this to that caller's point. I can't pull my son away from his iPad. I can't pull my son away from video games if there's something on TV. And it's a broader issue where you could probably talk for an hour about, and as a parent, sort of making those choices. I like the fact that we have an opportunity for a family of four to be able to come out to the ballpark for $20 and enjoy a game, play catch in the outfield, enjoy a fireworks show. You know, thank you for that call, because I think that reminds us every day why we do what we do.
And again, the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp are taking the field with their new name in April of 2017. You can check out the new logo at our website, wjctnews.org. Owner Ken Babby joining us. Thanks for being willing to take all this feedback, and I know you've been getting a lot of it this week. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And much more still ahead. Later in the hour, I'll look at some weekend events, including the cast of Annie Get Your Gun. But up next, why North Florida Land Trust has a message for landowners. Back in a moment.
What's up? Oh, man, I love it.
Hendricks Avenue Baptist Church is a place to experience Christ's presence and God's Spirit in a vibrant faith community. HAB celebrates diversity, seeks to bridge differences, and journeys together in an honest and authentic search for truth. HABchurch.com. Find a different way of being Baptist.
WJCT and Vistar Credit Union are honoring the memory of Fred Rogers with Mr. Rogers Sweater Drive. The drive runs through November 30th and accepts new and gently used sweaters, jackets, and blankets. Contributions may be dropped at WJCT and all Vistar Credit Union locations, and two men in a truck at 8849 Arlington Expressway. For more information, log on to WJCT.org. Contributions will be donated to selected nonprofit facilities within the First Coast area.
I'm Lydia Bastianich.
WJCT and FSCJ Artist Series present an intimate conversation with Lydia Bastianich, host of PBS's Lydia's Kitchen. The event is Saturday, December 3rd at 8 p.m. at the Times Union Center. Join us for an evening of conversation and storytelling, celebrating our love of Italian food. VIP tickets available. Ticket info at fscjartistseries.org.
So join me. Life is a combination of magic and pasta. Noi che felicia.
You know, this has been a long election year.
Jeb Bush.
Donald Trump.
Chris Christie.
Bernie Sanders.
John Kasich.
Hillary Clinton.
Rand Paul.
Scott Walker. But now we are in the home stretch.
We will make America great again.
Love Trump's hate.
On November 8th, the votes will finally be counted, and NPR will have live, round-the-clock coverage. Join us for results, reaction, and analysis on the big night and the morning after.
Complete election coverage on 89.9 WJCT.
Sorry. Welcome back to the show. Well, North Florida Land Trust has a message right now. If you own land in this area, they need you to act now in order to not only preserve the land, but also get a tax deduction this year. NFLT is asking farmers, ranchers, and large landowners to consider the donation of a conservation easement. In return, you will get a significant tax break, and you'll preserve the land for future generations. Now, the deal must be in place before December 31st in order for this tax deduction to be included in your 2016 taxes. North Florida Land Trust Executive Director Jim McCarthy is here with more. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. Good to see you.
And thanks for being with us. Okay, so this is important tax information for landowners here in Northeast Florida. Can you tell us how this conservation easement deduction would work?
Sure. Well, first of all, it's always good news to be probably your first guest to discuss taxes as we get towards the end of the season.
Getting some tax money back.
Yeah, exactly. In this particular case, in a conservation easement, for a rancher or farmer in particular, they receive a – how do I put this? Let's go through the process. They would get two appraisals on their property, one at full development value to take a look at – get that appraisal, and also one with a conservation easement on it that would prohibit development on that property in perpetuity. Mm-hmm. The difference between those two becomes tax deductible. And a rancher farmer would receive 100% of that tax deductibility with a 15-year carry forward. So they literally could eliminate their income taxes for a period of time. A homeowner or a resident who's not a rancher farmer received a 50% tax deduction with also a 15-year carry forward. Mm-hmm. So there's significant tax savings. We had attended an estate planning council meeting a couple of months ago, and of the 100 folks in the audience, the instructor asked how many folks were involved in and offered conservation easements as part of their portfolio. Only 6 out of the 100 raised their hands. His response to that was, these are the cool kids. They realize what an opportunity they are providing to their clients by using conservation easements to not only save their property, but for the tax deductibility. Mm-hmm. It's also a huge plus in estate planning. And to give you an example of that, we had an individual two years ago, who came to us who had been diagnosed terminally ill with cancer. He had done the research and talked to his financial advisors, found out his estate was worth about $6.2 million. He lived up in Nassau County. And he'd determined that if he put an easement on his property, at $6.2 million, it's clearly subject to the estate tax. And if he put an easement on his property, the value was $1.4 million. So it dropped the value of his estate to $4.8 million and underneath that threshold for estate taxes. So it's a tremendous estate planning tool as well as a tax savings tool. Estate planning we can do anytime. Mm-hmm. For the tax purposes, it needs to be done before December 31st.
Yes, the deadline is coming up. And to be clear, the landowner can still grow crops on the parcel where they establish this easement, but there is no longer the option to build on the property. That's the whole goal of the North Florida Land Trust, to preserve some areas in this community in their natural state so that they are not developed.
That's exactly correct. The landowner still owns the land. And that's an important distinction, that we don't become the owner. They continue to own the land and they continue to operate it just as they are now. We may or may not have some additional restrictions in it, like they cannot build. Or we had one individual that approached us that we're working with who has 2,500 acres of land, and his reluctance to do an easement was that he was thinking about building a house for each of his 4 children. Mm-hmm. 4 more houses on 2,500 acres of land is a deal we'll take any day. Mm-hmm. So we've worked it out, negotiated with him on where those properties could be, and he's able to save his land and continues to own it, continues to harvest. And in his case, he harvests timber off his property, and so he'll continue to timber and operations as normal.
Now, for people that have never heard about you before, let's talk a little bit about the history and the mission of the North Florida Land Trust.
The bottom line for us is that we preserve the special places in Northeast Florida. We primarily focus on the counties running down 95 down to Putnam, the 7 counties, so 3 million acres of property. And our goal is to preserve that, preserve the natural resources, preserve the working lands, preserve the historic properties. It's on occasion. That's not something we focus on, but primarily it's the preservation of what we know as old Florida. Mm-hmm. So we're working very hard on a number of different projects. Have identified 112,000 acres of land out of that 3 million that are really key to our preservation portfolio, as we call it, and important to our not only to preserve for to be able to maintain a healthy lifestyle, but also have clean water, clean air, and places where we can kayak and bike and hike and cycle, and I've determined that there is a difference between cycling, biking, and biking.
Oh, okay.
And
what's the difference?
Well, one's motorized.
Biking
and cycling are different. But nonetheless, folks who just love Florida, and I can't resist the opportunity to say, and even want to grow jumbo shrimp. can support our program and what we're doing. And
sure.
If you like sunrises and sunsets, if you like to kayak, you like to boat, you like to sail, if you like to hunt, you like to fish. Actually, conservation easements are a great savings for hunt camps, if you think about it. Generally, that property needs to be 40 acres or more and have a conservation value for us to get involved in it. Mm-hmm. Our mission is a great one to and should be very close, I hope, to everyone's heart in Northeast Florida.
Again, if you're just tuning in, the North Florida Land Trust has a message for anyone who owns a big piece of property in this area. If you're a farmer, a rancher, or a large landowner, you can donate a conservation easement to the trust and get a big tax break and help the mission of the North Florida Land Trust as well. But as Jim says, you've got to do this before December 31st to get the tax benefit. People need to contact you for more, right?
They do. If they would, that'd be great. They can contact me or our Land Protection Director, Mark Hudson, at 904-479-1967, or they can visit our website and send us an email.
Jim McCarthy, Executive Director of North Florida Land Trust, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Melissa.
And we'll be right back.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, compared to the last two presidential elections, early voting results indicate African Americans are not turning out in as high numbers in several battleground states. What's behind the lower numbers? What they could mean for the outcome of the election? Weekdays at 10, right after First Coast Connect on 89.9 FM WJCT.
WJCT's Generation Listen, the nonpartisan JAX Young Voters Coalition, and the Elements of MOSH present Why Vote JAX 2, an election-themed listening party event for young public radio listeners. Come to the rooftop of MOSH on Friday, November 4th from 6:30 to 9 p.m. for this free gathering featuring food, drinks, prizes, and great stories as heard on public radio. Learn more and RSVP at wjct.org/events. WJCT's Generation Listen is sponsored by Grassroots Natural Market.
Welcome back. Well, it's a simple piece of advice for anyone who's struggled with their weight, and that's so many of us. Here it is. We are all born with an innate wisdom about how to eat right. But dieting leads us to disconnect from our intuition about food, and it leads to food obsession, hatred of our bodies, anxiety, and weight fluctuation. That's the message one local wellness coach and author delivers in her new book, and she's learned these lessons the hard way. Here with more, we welcome Cindy Landham, certified wellness coach and author of The Liberated Eater. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Melissa.
So you want to liberate us from dieting. That sounds good.
Yes, absolutely. And I dieted for 30 years, and it never worked.
You've tried them all.
Tried them
all. The grapefruit diet, the high protein diet,
the paleo diet.
The list goes on. And,
exactly.
And fads come and go in dieting too.
Yes, they do.
So you rode those waves.
Rode them and about drowned in them.
Why is that?
Because diets simply can't work. They don't teach us how to live with food. They literally disconnect us from the inner wisdom we're all born with. So we end up actually, not only do they not work, but they actually do harm.
Why do you say that?
Well, because as we disconnect from our our wisdom and start to chase other solutions, we get farther and farther from our ability to hear our own hunger, our own satisfaction, and we literally become disordered eaters. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot to overcome. And the longer we diet, the farther we get from really loving ourselves, knowing ourselves, and being able to connect with the wisdom we have.
What was the breakthrough for you to sort of change your mindset about all this?
I stumbled into what I'll call recovery accidentally. I had dieted for 30 years. I was sitting at my desk.
Were you overweight?
Well, here's my yes.
Okay.
But that really wasn't the torture. In the beginning, it was. I went to college weighing 124 pounds after dieting myself down to, you know, small. And within one quarter, weighed 165.
Mm.
Now, and maybe more.
Freshman 25.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. 40. Yes. And that was because I had left home, gotten out from under the thumb of the food police, and my eating was just out of control. And that pattern continued for 30 years.
For 30 years. And then you said, so you were sitting at your desk.
Yes, in my mid-40s, making yet another weight chart, no telling how many I had hung in the bathroom. And it was as though it was an epiphany. I had failed. I simply could not do this. Now, I didn't know there was another answer, so I felt that I had failed at dieting. I would give up, and I would just gain weight till I died, and that would be sad, but that was going to be my fate. I could not diet anymore. And the odd thing was that over the next few years, just giving up that thought of good food, bad food, fattening food, non-fattening food, it opened up space in my life to begin to actually be sane around food. It's the rule following of dieting that sends us into binging. Eating too little always eventually leads to eating too much, and it makes us a little crazy in the process.
Yeah, because you feel so denied things you love.
Yes.
Well, the trick, I think, for so many of us, and I know I struggle with this too, is moderation, mm-hmm. not being too strict with ourselves, but not going overboard. How do you get to that? That's always been my struggle, because I'm either on the wagon or I'm off the wagon.
Yes.
But I need to find a happy medium, and I think that's what you're saying works.
Exactly. And to leave the idea of the wagon, because think what happens when we fall off. We say we've blown it, and then what do? We absolutely binge until we start the next diet. So this roller coaster, and there's plenty of data to back this up, most of us chronic dieters actually gain weight over the long haul instead of lose it. So the answer is for us to completely leave that paradigm of being on some kind of program, on the wagon or off the wagon, and instead become mindful, intuitive, informed eaters. So we're taking food off the big hairy deal list, and it's becoming a good gift.
How do you live that every day? How do you do it?
Well, a lifestyle change takes time. It's not like getting on a diet and getting off. It takes support. It takes establishing new skills, just like riding a bicycle. The more you practice, the better you get. But over time, we lose that crazy feeling about food, and we begin to relax and to be able to eat reasonably. And it is a wonderful discovery. I work with people all the time who are very concerned with losing weight, and as they get to a more comfortable weight, the thing they say that is even more important to them is that they finally feel at peace in their mind.
Here's a tweet for you from Josh. What is the scientific basis you follow for abandoning diet rules?
Well, you know, the diet industry likes to keep this quiet, but there is just a mountain of research out there. You can read Tribble and Resch, who wrote Intuitive Eating back in the mid-90s. Michelle May, a physician from Phoenix. Dr. Ludwig from Boston University. I mean, it's endless. And not only biologically, but psychologically, that diets set us up for disordered eating.
And it's really psychological is what you're getting at, not the physiological changes that go on in the body.
Well,
you're really getting into the mind piece of this, it sounds like.
Yes, certainly the body is a part of this, but until we have a peaceful place between our ears, until we normalize our relationship with food, we're going to continue to act crazy with it. Mm-hmm. Undereat it, overeat it. It becomes our best friend and our biggest enemy at the same time, and that's a tough place to live.
Now, in your book, The Liberated Eater, you give the reader tools for what you call food encounters.
Yes.
Since we encounter food everywhere we go. So you have some tips and tools for people.
Exactly. So when we're dieting, we're following rules. And what do we do with rules? We break them. And the minute we break them, then we're binging. So we're going to leave those rules and begin to adopt wonderful tools. I think about every morning we talk about getting up and putting on our tool belt. And one example would be best bites first. Most of us chronic dieters save the best bite to last, which ensures, of course, that we're going to eat through everything, not listening to our satisfaction cue to get to the reward of that best bite. But just that one tool to sit down, look at your food, say to yourself, wow, what looks really best to me? And go for that best few bites first. It's so much easier to leave unwanted food behind when you've already had the best.
Hmm. That's a good tip. And there are more in Cindy's book. It's called The Liberated Eater. She's wellness coach, workshop leader, author, and speaker Cindy Landham. New to the area, by the way. And thanks for being here.
Oh, my privilege.
We'll be right back.
Today's segment with Carrie Speckman is brought to you in part by Blue Bamboo Asian Kitchen.
And finally, this hour, there is so much happening in this final weekend before the presidential election. Are you looking for a little relief from all that stress? Well, we've got lots of options for your weekend. Here she is every Thursday to take us all around town. We welcome the mistress of mayhem, the maven of mirth, the jumbo shrimp selfie taking Carrie Speckman here today. You got a picture of yourself with Ken Babby.
Actually, I took one
in the green room.
I took one yesterday at the press conference. Of course.
Oh, you went to the press conference, right?
Hello, I have a whole video. Read my blog, would you?
But sorry, I've been a little busy.
I saw him out there, and he's like, "Oh, did you want to take another one? Did you not like the one from yesterday?"
So you got your selfie with Ken Babby, owner of the Jumbo Shrimp. What do you think of the name?
I think it's fun. Yeah. I'm all about, I mean, it's minor league. It's not like it's a major league team. And, you know, not a lot of people go to minor league baseball games. You got to make it fun.
Yeah. I mean, they're trying to juice attendance and all that. He certainly is getting a lot of attention.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sure his
goal. My favorite
is
still the Montgomery Biscuits.
I love that name, too. Okay. So I am looking at your list of events for this weekend, Ms. Speckman.
Yes.
And it says tonight, with more than 9 million records sold.
Oh, and I didn't even put the name.
The band currently holds the position as Billboard's top-selling act in Christian music.
That would be Casting Crowns.
Casting Crowns. Casting Crowns coming to town tonight.
Yeah. That would be an important part of the
name of the band. Yeah. That's okay. That's all right. You were up late celebrating the jumbo shrimp. Also tonight.
How did you know?
Also tonight, what is this? Oh, an exhibit, opening reception, Images of Florida's First Coast at the Carpellas Museum. That looks interesting, actually.
And it's Will Dickey, photographer. I'm sure you know him, ever seen him at an event. He's everywhere. In fact, I saw him yesterday. He works for the Times Union, so you've seen his work. And they're Florida landscape photos.
Okay, and that's tonight at the Carpellas Museum.
It runs through December 30th, so if you don't make it out there.
Yeah, and that's a good excuse to go over to that museum in Springfield.
And you can also check out the Wright Brothers manuscript exhibit while you're there.
Excellent. Okay, now I want to talk about two things that you have on the list that are very important to our listeners. Number one, WJCT's Generation Listen Party is coming up Friday, and this year it's election themed, It's called Why Vote Jax. This is a way for young people to come be part of public radio and talk a little politics.
Yes. Well, but I heard, I don't think this is true, but if anyone says Trump or Clinton, they have to wear a dunce cap.
Oh, is that right?
I think that was a joke. But
this is at the Mosh, right?
It is on the rooftop.
The rooftop of the Mosh, Friday night. Now, the Guardian Ad Litem also Friday is hosting its fundraiser on the third floor of the Duval County Courthouse. That's a cool event.
This is their first one. There's No Place Like Home fundraiser, and they're going to have it set up like the Wizard of Oz. And what I thought was cool, they're doing behind the scenes guided tours by some of the judges.
Oh, of the courthouse chambers, yes, and stuff?
I think that's
cool. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I bet people would be curious to see that.
They would. And it benefits Guardian Ad Litem.
Now, the Navy is all excited because Navy versus Notre Dame is playing Saturday at Everbank Field.
It is a huge Navy weekend.
It's a big Navy weekend. You've got that game, and then also this weekend, the official Sea and Sky Spectacular Air Show out at the beach.
Yes.
With the Blue Angels and the whole works.
Many other military and civilian flight teams. And they have like a kids area. But I think I believe it's the largest event in the city, like attendance-wise.
The Sea and Sky, I would believe that for sure.
Well, for 2 days.
And even if you don't make it all the way out to the beach, if you're close enough to the beach, you'll see the planes. You'll see them flying, and you'll hear them.
Yes.
Absolutely. So try to enjoy that this weekend. Also Saturday, it's Porch Fest in Springfield, one of the most fun events around.
Oh my gosh, one of my favorites. One of my favorites. Though, it's a bittersweet event because Canary and the Coal Mine is playing their last show.
Yeah, local favorites Canary in the Coal Mine will be playing Saturday night in Springfield
for the last time.
And last but not least, we have two VIP tickets to give away right now.
Ooh.
To next week's Brew at the Zoo. That's the wildest food and drink festival
in town.
Sells
out every year.
Yeah, it's already sold out. These two VIP tickets come courtesy of the fabulous Chris Brown of 927
Yay,
Events.
Chris Brown!
These are worth $100 each, by the way. Email us, firstcoastconnect@wjct.org, and we will pick a winner at random and hand you two VIP tickets to Brew at the Zoo, which is rescheduled for Friday, November 11th. Good luck, everybody, on that
good
one.
Good luck.
And go to thespectator.com.
Oh, the fair's in town also.
Yeah, the fair's in town this weekend too. Get the list at thespectator.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. This has been First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT FM Jacksonville. Your community, your world. We'll be back at 9 a.m. tomorrow for our Friday Media Roundtable. Diane Reams up next. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.